The Big Ten is rebooting the football season. We're talking about it here on the morning show as the Badgers prepare to open with Illinois at home without fans packing Camp Randall on October 24th. What kinds of safety protocols should the Big Ten or the UW put in place to protect players, staff, anyone on the field and in the stands? Do you think fans should be allowed at games? Conversation right here. We're getting a read on it. 800-642-1234. Colton Bartholomew is the Badgers football beat reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com. Colton, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So why did the Big Ten reverse course here? Why did the Big Ten decide to revisit its decision and then change and start fall sports?
Sure. So I think, first off, you've got a lot of people that are in the Big Ten between administrators and coaches and players and a large body of people that wanted to play football this fall. So those people got together with the medical teams that are on place in these campuses. And they really kind of started looking at what the possibilities were. And the biggest keys to bringing football back this fall were the availability of rapid antigen testing and daily antigen testing. And that really wasn't available until, I would say, the middle of September was that the more most realistic. So once that was locked in, then it kind of became, all right, what else do we need to do to make this as safe as possible? And I think the other part of it is the amount of people that they have seen on these campuses have the ability to do the contact tracing that's necessary. And then also the way that they've adjusted the protocols that they have if someone tests positive, so that, on the chance that someone does test positive on a football team, they're going to be isolated for at least 3 weeks. And they've got all these things in order now. That they got enough for the presidents, or actually all of the presidents in the Big Ten, to vote that they could play football under these parameters.
So they're more organized, got more tools, more buy-in. But let me ask you this. There was an absolute uproar among parents when the Big Ten postponed fall sports last month. Do you think pressure from parents of athletes had anything to do with the decision to reverse course?
I think maybe it just showed that there was enough of us there's enough support on the idea of playing. It wasn't like the Big Ten called off the season and then everyone kind of just said, oh yeah, that's okay. That's the right move. Given even the situation that we're in, there were still enough people that wanted to have a football season and wanted to try to make it work. So I think maybe that helped a little bit, but I think the biggest thing was that the science was there and the ability to play football as safely as possible, given the times, was probably the bigger factors.
Will parents be in the stands?
Parents will, but no one else will. They're not going to be doing any public ticket sales, no season tickets, as we've seen already. That's across the Big Ten. So I know they're working on campus by campus what's going to be allowed for visiting parents, because the idea is they want all parents of all the teams to be able to go to home and road games, if they're financially able to travel on their own and things like that. But the idea right now is to just have parents and families of coaches in the stands and no one else.
So looking at the UW football team circumstances, they were under a 2-week pause because 42 Badger players and staff members had tested positive for COVID since June. What is the status of those players and staff who tested positive?
Well, we're working on that right now. And I know that a different number from the public health partnership here in Dane County and Madison was that it was in the 20s that tested positive since they returned for school. So it's a decent chunk of the roster that was affected. They're starting practice this morning for the Badger football team. So we'll get a number or at least an idea of where they stand right now with their testing. I think the biggest issue that they're going to have is preparing those players for whenever they are able to return, because they have a pretty strict protocol of all the tests they need to go for or go through and all the clearances they need to get before they can return to practice or a game. But I think the issues they're going to have is how long they can be out right now here in this modified training camp they're in before they play. Because like you mentioned off the top, they start about a month against Illinois, and already that's not as much time as they would have liked, given that they didn't have a normal summer or spring practices. So depending on who those players are, I think it's going to be a tough challenge for the Badger football team.
So when does the daily antigen testing start, and what does that look like?
Sure. So at the very latest, it'll start September 30th, and that's a mandate from the Big Ten Conference. Schools, if they're able to secure the tests or have partnerships with different labs that are testing, I know, like, let's say Nebraska, I know is on that list that has all those tests secured and has already started the daily testing. That's one of the things that we need to talk to the Badgers about this week, is when the testing is going to start. But at the very latest, it'll be September 30th. And then that'll go throughout the season, every single day, every player and coach and trainer, anyone that goes on the field during practice will be tested.
Well, we're talking with Colton Bartholomew, who's the Badgers football beat reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com, talking about the Badgers preparing to open the season at home against Illinois. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Colton Bartholomew right here on the Ideas Network. The Badgers host Illinois for their season opener at Camp Randall a month from now. And the UW closes the regular season on December 12th at Iowa. We're talking about it. How do you feel about the Big Ten bringing back conference play? Is it safe? Should fans be allowed in the stands? We're at 800-642-1234. Colton Bartholomew is the Badgers football beat reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com. He stays with us. Colton, how have the Badgers started preparing for this upcoming season? The word flexible has been in the mix, and I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. So they started training camp back in September for their first iteration of, or excuse me, back in August for the first iteration of what the schedule was going to be. Then it gets postponed, then canceled. Then now they got this new schedule that's kind of a sprint to the finish line, hoping to get all these games in. So,
and there are eight regular games here. Is that right?
There'll be eight scheduled games, and then they'll play a ninth game in the Big Ten.
Okay.
The opponent to be determined later on.
Okay.
So that's part of the flexibility, is that you don't quite know your entire schedule. And then the other part is that just with the amount of, potential issues that there are out there with COVID, and then the ability to field a full practice or possibly have to do, more meetings virtually, other things like that. I think there's just everything's on the table this year. And I think coaches are going to have to do probably their best coaching job in being open to changes and available to players in different ways than just being at practice or being in an in-person meeting. So I think there's a lot of different things that the Badgers are going to have to do to be able to put on a season that's as normal as possible this year.
Well, Meg from Appleton called in, couldn't stay on the line with us. Meg says they work in a school and they think it's unfair that for Meg and other staff members, it takes a week to get COVID tests back. But the football team has these daily antigen tests. What about equal accessibility here?
That's a fair question. There's going to be, issues of fairness throughout this whole season, I think. Part of this is the Big Ten is paying for the daily tests for these schools. Obviously, you've got different schools that have partnerships with labs or other things to have these tests done. But the bill is being footed by the Big Ten. And I know that it's not the most fair process. But, I mean, when you look at what the Big Ten was going to lose in terms of television money and sponsorships and other things like that by not having a football season, spending that money to make sure that those tests happen in a football season as possible is a trade-off that they're willing to make.
And just to clarify, these daily antigen tests, they're going to be saliva spit tests, not the nasal swabs?
That's correct. And then if a player or a staff member or someone else tests positive from the saliva tests, then they'll take a nasal swab to confirm that test to try to, decrease any risks of a false positive.
So what happens if there is an outbreak among players?
There's different thresholds that the Big Ten put in place. I believe it starts at about 2%. If you have over 2% of your team that's been infected, then you got to basically shut down practices or move them to just virtual or in distance practices. And I think it's if you cross over 4.5% to 5% of your team, then you stop all practices and games until your numbers come back down. So there are some pretty stringent policies in place put in by the Big Ten that if there's a breakout or if anybody's, you know, not doing what they need to do virus-wise, then they can't play.
Well, I mean, how big is a team? Is it that percentage based on your players only, on everyone on the field, on your team that's back in the back office? I mean, you know, what are you basing that on?
Sure. So there's two thresholds. There's the just the roster of players, and that's what that 2%, 5% that I was talking about. But then there's also with all the coaches and assistants and staff members, that's a little bit higher of a threshold. You can, I think it's 3% and then 6%. Those different thresholds I mentioned jump up to. So it's considering both the players only and just or in the entire they call it football population. So everybody that's around the program as well.
Well, Colton, where will you be in covering the Illinois game on the 24th of October?
I'm hoping either the press box or some other type of place in Camp Randall, but I am very ready to do whatever you have to do. You know, I think flexibility extends beyond the team and to anyone that's trying to be associated with this football season. You just kind of have to go with the flow. Like we just learned today that we won't be able to go to any practices and watch or do any in-person interviews this year. Everything's going to be over Zoom or other teleconferencing services. So it's going to be a lot of, you know, managing that time and doing the best you can while not being there as much as you're used to.
Colton, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Colton Bartholomew is the Badgers football beat reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Right now, there's frustration surrounding COVID-19 outbreaks on the UW-Madison campus and the ripple effect on the surrounding community. We're looking closer at this. Here's Governor Evers last week at a media briefing responding to the UW's reopening plan.
We always said it was going to be bumpy, both in the K through 12 world and the university, and it has been. But at the end of the day, we just have to make sure that students, especially in the university system, really take on the issue of individual responsibility.
How do you feel about students being on campus? What about football getting underway in a month? It's 800-642-1234. Dane County Executive Joe Parisi, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, you said, let's start with the Big Ten here. You said last week that you were disappointed with the decision to hold the football season this year. What is concerning you?
Well, when you view it in context of the overall situation that we're seeing, not only at UW-Madison campus, but campuses across the state, in my community, for example, in the first 2 weeks of September, we saw case rate growth increase 3.5 times over the previous 2 weeks, and that's despite a decrease in the number of tests. So we went from 150 positive cases per 100,000 residents to over 450. So Wisconsin is now the second worst in the U.S. for new case rate. You know, it's so bad that the Harvard Global Health Institute has actually recommended that the entire state go into safer at home regulations again and restrict unnecessary travel. And so that just gives you an idea of how serious this spike in cases is, you know, relative to what's going on in the rest of the nation. And this spike has been largely driven by UW campuses returning to in-person learning.
Well, does the county or does Madison itself have any power to regulate what happens on campus?
No, that's one of our frustrations. This summer, we expressed our concerns to the university about, you know, their plans to potentially come back to in-person learning. And they went ahead and made the decision on their own to come back. And right now we're seeing the results of that decision. You know, when you invite 40,000 young people back to campus and expect each and every one of them to engage in perfect behavior, that's just kind of an unrealistic expectation. And so our fear now is with the tremendous case growth we're seeing going into the fall and the winter, that we're very nervous about, you know, a surge going into the colder weather when more people are going to be inside.
Well, Chancellor Rebecca Blank responded to your criticism that, you know, these are students who are part of the community. They're living here. They're voting here. They're patronizing your businesses. You can't, she said, wish them away. How do you respond to that?
Well, anyone who I've lived in Bain County every one of the 59 years I've been on Earth, and anyone who lives here can tell you that if you walk on campus on July 1st, it's kind of a ghost town. But come here August 15th, and the campus area swells by tens of thousands of people. And the university invited them back, and now they're here, and we have to deal with this challenge. So saying that they're always here and they always have been is kind of factually inaccurate. And so what we need to do now is look at how do we mitigate the challenge that the university system has brought to our community. Now, in the spring, when COVID first hit, they pivoted to going virtual. About a week and a half ago, when their cases started skyrocketing, they pivoted to a two-week virtual schedule. My ask has been from the start, after the first 2 weeks they were back, to transition to all virtual. Allow the young people to test, make sure they're negative if they're in the dorms, let their parents come and pick them up and take them home and attend school virtual. I think it's the safest thing for the young people, and it's the safest thing for my community.
Would it then spread COVID to that student's home community, wherever that is, whether it's, you know, 10 miles away or, you know, across the U.S. or around the world?
Well, that has been the chancellor's argument, but, you know, I have a couple of responses to that. First of all, if there's such a danger that this disease is going to spread and we don't want people to return to their hometowns, why was it okay to bring them into my community in the first place to spread it among the 500,000 people who live here? That said, we're not saying load everyone up on a bus and drive them to the edge of town and let them off on the side of the road. You know, they sent the young people home in March. They're going to send them all home, you know, if they stick it out in Thanksgiving. There's a safe way you can do that. You can let them test. You can have their parents come and pick them up. So, you know, for the university to kind of blame the community in which it exists for not cleaning up the mess that they just created is kind of a puzzling response to me.
We're talking with Joe Parisi, who's Dane County Executive, discussing virus outbreaks on the UW-Madison campus, the ripple effect on the larger community, and what this restart program means for the community. With your insights, 800-642-1234. Let's look at bars in particular, bars and restaurants. What is your office doing to regulate drinking establishments and limit the spread in these places?
Yeah, so until the university came back in person, Dane County had actually been very effective in keeping the virus under control. We were the first county in the state to impose stay-at-home regulations and the first county to have masking regulations. And we flattened our curve from the beginning. But what we have seen is a sharp increase in cases. You know, for example, we already have strict regulations on bars. They can only be takeout or outside with social distancing and limited numbers of people. Restaurants are at 25% capacity. And we've recently had to even step up enforcement because of some bars not necessarily going along with the guidelines. So, you know, we've had one of the, you know, most comprehensive efforts in the state, if not the nation, at keeping this under control. But the university coming back to in-person learning has overwhelmed a lot of our resources.
You know, Chancellor Blank has called for your office to become a partner in this and to enforcing safer behavior in these off-campus places like bars. What has communication been like with campus officials?
Well, we've been in contact with them since the summer when I started and when our public health department started voicing our concerns. So, I mean, they're calling for us to partner now, which obviously and of course we will, But they didn't partner with us when they decided to come back. They informed us. They didn't ask us. But we're in constant communication. Our staffs talk. I spoke with Tommy Thompson about less than 2 weeks ago. So we're in communication, but a lot of our pleas aren't necessarily falling on open arms.
Well, let's take a quick call here. Shannon is in Madison. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Go ahead.
I just wanted to, I run an essential organization here in Dane County, and I just wanted to extend my deep appreciation to our county executive for his outstanding leadership during this pandemic, and for the work that he's doing to hold the university accountable. I think that, you know, bringing the students back, I'm in full agreement with County Executive Parisi that this was a poor decision made on the university, on behalf of the university, to bring those students back and to endanger the community within which we live. There are a lot of us who have been working really hard throughout the pandemic as we run essential services to ensure the safety of our community. And so I just wanted to extend my deep appreciation to the county executive for his leadership.
Shannon, thanks. County Executive Parisi, what have you heard from local residents in the county?
You know, people are concerned. You know, one of the challenges that the students coming back and the spike in cases has brought is already our local hospitals have had to enact stricter guidelines. You know, for example, I can tell you I have a friend who within the next week or two has to have open heart surgery, and his wife is not able to accompany him to his surgery now because of the limits they've had to place on visitation because of the spike in cases. So I think the important part is the university's actions have ramifications throughout the community, and that's my concern. I'm responsible for the well-being of over 500,000 people, and so I need to do what I think is necessary in order to try to protect them from this illness.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, moving forward from here, what do you want to see UW-Madison do next?
I'd like to see them continue to beef up their infrastructure for contact tracing and testing. If they're going to, you know, absolutely refuse to provide virtual education this semester, I would like them to seriously consider providing virtual classes for the second semester. If they're going to, you know, have the young people stay here through November and then go home, let's let them go back to virtual for the second semester, because the argument that the university makes, well, we can't send young people home because they might spread the disease, they're going to send them all home in November. So wouldn't conversely the argument be you shouldn't bring them all back in January because they could spread the disease further in our community? So there's time to start planning right now. I would hope they have some contingency plans in place. If they do, they haven't shared them with us. But let's, you know, at least do what they can to get through this semester safely if they're not going to go virtual, and start planning for a virtual spring semester.
Joe, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Joe Parisi is County Executive of Dane County. By the way, Chancellor Rebecca Blank's office declined our interview request. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.